It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Still to come, a legislative update as the legislature winds down from Katarina Sestaric in just a few minutes. But first, you could call it an earthquake on Mars, but that would be incorrect. Marsquake. Marsquake is the correct term. There's a new word for your vocabulary today. NASA's Mars InSight lander has measured and recorded for the first time ever a likely Marsquake. Bill Barnhart joins us, Assistant Professor of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Iowa. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me again.
I hope you're the right expert because you're a professor of Earth and Earth Sciences. We didn't have a Mars Sciences guy, so we'll talk with you, okay?
Sounds good to me.
What did the Mars lander detect and when?
So on April 6th, the Mars lander with its seismometer, which is one of several instruments on the InSight lander, detected a Marsquake. So a seismic event from deep somewhere inside of Mars that has been termed by many as a Marsquake. And this is, it's actually one of four events that have been detected since the instrument was deployed in late November of 2018. But the one that's been making big splashes in the news is the largest of these, and it is the first seismic events that have been detected on Mars.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, did we have any idea if there were quakes on Mars before this?
There was an idea that there was because there were actually seismometers deployed on the moon during the Apollo missions, and similar events were detected on the moon. So this seismometer was put on the InSight mission to determine if these events happened on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
There was a seismometer previously put on Mars by one of the Viking missions, but it wasn't installed properly, so it never returned any data. But there was an idea that maybe you'd be able to detect these so-called Mars quakes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how does this quake on Mars compare with what we have on Earth, earthquakes?
Well, first of all, the event that was detected in early April is extraordinarily small. Here on Earth, we actually would likely not have been able to have detected it because of all of the seismic noise caused by things that exist on the Earth that don't exist on Mars. So people, oceans, things that generate a lot of seismic noise make the Earth seismically noisy, and those don't exist on Mars. Mars is about 1,000 times more seismically quiet than the Earth is, so they were able to detect this very small event. Another key difference, too, is that there's not plate tectonics on Mars. We have plate tectonics here on Earth, and that drives most of the earthquakes that we're familiar with. And so the question is, well, how do you get an earthquake or a Marsquake on Mars? And the leading hypothesis is that it's related to cooling of the planet. When planets form, they're very hot on the interior, and they cool over time. This cooling process is actually why we have plate tectonics right now on Earth. And as the planet cools, it contracts, and that generates stresses and potentially generates these Marsquakes.
Mm. So just to go into, make sure we all understand plate tectonics, these are on Earth, they are these, so the rigid plates, and we're kind of floating on rigid plates, so to speak, over mantle, which is liquidy or not as rigid, right?
Right, yeah, you want to think of mantle as really hard peanut butter, so pretty hard but still able to flow, and that convex over very, very, very long time scales, millions of years, and that drives plate motions, and we ride on top of these rigid plates.
Okay, and so to take your peanut butter analogy, we're going to go to Mars, and the peanut butter in Mars is cold.
Yeah, it's colder than the peanut butter here. It still might be... It still likely has some viscosity to it, so it can flow, but it's probably pretty hard. Not enough that it's not flowing fast enough that you would actually drive the process of plate tectonics.
Okay, so what does this mean that the relatively little seismic activity on Mars does that forecast what's in store for the Earth? Are we cooling like Mars would have in the past and continues to do?
Yeah, eventually the Earth will cool enough that plate tectonics will shut down. The great analogy for this is actually Venus. There's very, very good evidence that there was plate tectonics at some point in the recent geologic history of Venus in, say, the last billion years, if you want to use that as a recent term. But it no longer has plate tectonics. And the reason for that is that Venus is just slightly smaller than the Earth is, so it can cool faster than the Earth did. And eventually, the Earth will cool down enough in several billion years that there will no longer be plate tectonics here, but we still might be able to generate earthquakes through these cooling processes and these contraction processes.
Mm. Fascinating. Bill, before we go, I have to hearken back to the last time you were on this program. You were on in December of 2018, December of last year. We spoke about the powerful earthquake in Alaska. That was a 7.0 magnitude quake. It struck just north of Anchorage. We spoke with you. We also spoke with an Iowan who was in Alaska and felt that quake. Has your department, have you been involved in the analysis of that?
Yeah, my research group, we continued analysis of that earthquake using a combination of on the surface of the Earth GPS sensors, as well as satellite imagery. And we were able to put together as accurate as we could a model of the earthquake in the subsurface, and we passed that information on to the U.S. Geological Survey, and they were able to use that information to provide better impact estimates of the earthquake itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so it's driving the question I wanted you to answer before we go is, what are you looking to answer when you do post-game analysis of a big quake like that?
There's a lot of questions. The main societal question is where did it shake people the strongest? And if you don't have instruments on the ground to measure that, then you don't know, so you have to predict where it happened. So what we try to do is we try to create these three-dimensional models of the earthquake, which can be used to predict shaking, which can then be used to better inform these impact estimates. So we're thinking about how deep was the earthquake, how big was the surface area of the fault, which way is the fault inclined into the earth? Does it incline to the south or to the north? And then how much slip was there? So those are all sort of the questions that we here at the University of Iowa try to address and then pass that information on to other users.
Bill Barnhart, you have a fascinating field of study. Thank you for sharing some of it with us today as it pertains to the news.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Bill Barnhart, Assistant Professor of Earth and Environmental Sciences at the University of Iowa.